Okay. So last week we started discussing the effect of technology, communication technology specifically, on halachic issues. So last week we focused on Gittin, the narrow question relatively of Tzivui Habal, of the requirement for a husband to directly tell the sofer and the to tell the sofer and to tell the edim that he wants the get to be written in order to imbue it either with lishma or because there's heightened levels of heightened requirements for shlichut. This week we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about tzniut issues, a variety of issues. It was funny. I actually ended up talking last week after I gave the shiur. I was talking with a friend of mine, Rabbi Ari Lam, who's now, whatever he is, senior advisor to the president or something of YU, whatever, he's in charge of like vision or something like that. And he was asking me what I thought about, you know, communication technology in halacha. I'm like, well, I'm giving a 4-part series on it now, but now he wants to make it into a series of podcasts where we just discuss issues and bounce it around. So I'll probably continue after this on some other forum. But tzniut issues are just as much affected, if not more, than the status issues by communication technology. But when I mean tzniut issues, there's a whole variety of things that we can talk about. We can talk about visual tzniut issues or visual arayot, and we can mean that even that subdivides, as we'll see. You know, there's a prohibition to see certain images in general, and we have to ask the question, though the answer will be pretty obvious, but at least have to ask the question of, does that apply when the said image is not live, is not real, it's just an image on a screen? But there's a secondary thing, which is even if something is permitted to see, it may not be permitted to be seen, let's say, during Shema. So, for example, well, there's no prohibition for one to see, the covered parts of one's wife's body during Shema, you can. Well, what happens if you have a picture? You have if when you went to the beach, I don't know, right? You have a family video. You don't show it to other people, but you have it, right? What if it's playing in the background? Does that create a problem for Kriyat Shema? We have audio araya, such as Kolisha. Kolisha, without getting to the exhaustive sugya of what exactly Kolisha is, we'll have to touch on it a bit. What happens if the voice isn't live? What happens if there's a microphone? What happens if it's a recording? What happens if it's on the radio? What happens if it's live? Not live, it's being recorded live, right? You see it, right, while it's happening, but you're not there. What happens if it was recorded and you're listening to it afterwards? What if you know what the woman looks like? What if you don't? What if it's audio? What if it's visual, right? Every one of those things is a machlokes haposkim. And there are many different issues that you could talk about in which tzniut is affected by communication technology. So when I sat down to try to prepare, what I realized was right away, there is no way I'm going to be able to cover all the issues that come up under this banner in any exhaustive way, because each one of them is a topic in and of itself. So what I want to try to do today is set up a framework to grapple with these questions. I still have a lot of makaros here. I am touching on a few of the sugyas. None of the sugyas which will we sort of flesh out to the end, but I want to set up a framework to approach the issue. So this is how I would do it, and we'll try to refine it as we go along. There's a whole area of tzniut, of arayot, where the prohibitions are generated because they cause one to think in promiscuous ways, right? They cause one's thoughts to wander. And that's a whole area of the Yisurei Arayot. In that plane, for the most part, I would expect, and as we'll see, this will be borne out in Poskim, I think, no one is going to entertain the possibility that if the problematic image, let's say, is not live, that it is permitted. So let's just take a crude example, right? Pornography, right? No one is going to tell me that it is permitted to view pornography because it's only a picture, right? It's only a, right? It's not live, right? That That makes no sense, right? We know intuitively that makes no sense. Sure, it's not technically in erva, the woman isn't in front of you, but we know that it is. There's an entire sex industry built on pornography because people are attracted to it, and it creates problems, and it can destroy marriages, right? It is a substantive, real issue, live or not. And if you look at the first sources, just to prove that point, if it needed proving at all, the pasuk tells you, pasuk we know well from Kriyat Shema, from the third parak of Kriyat Shema, that you have tzitzis to remind you to keep the mitzvos, and you shall not stray after your hearts and your eyes. And the Gemara tells you, what does that mean? Acharei einichem. What does it mean to stray after your eyes? Hiru ravera. It's that which, it's thoughts of promiscuity, thoughts of sin. Shneamar vayomer Shimshon l'aviv. Oso kachli ki yishara beinai. Shimshon tells his father, bring me that woman. Atem zonim. Zehir avodah zara. What is zonim? So that's avodah zara. V'chein yomer v'yisnu acharei apialim. And Rashi just says, halev, on summarizing Midrashim, he says in the pasuk in number 3, Alev ve'einayim hem raglim laguf. The heart and the eyes are the spies for the body. Meserserim lo et averot. They are the agents for sin. Ha'ayin ro'eh. The eye sees. Halev chomed, and the heart desires. Vagufo says averos, and then the heart, and then the body goes and does it. Now, what's included in that prohibition? So, how do I know that it must obviously? And this is not my proof. This is from the Karnei Re'eim and Simon Rish Zion. How do I know that it makes no difference, live or not? Well, look at number 4. Look how far it goes. In number 4, it says, Ulustakule meishari meisve. In the context of things it's prohibited to look at, so it says, V'nishmartim kol devarah shel yistakel adam b'isha nav afilu pnuya. You can't stare at a beautiful woman even if she is unmarried. Be'eshes ish v'afilu mechueres, nor at a married woman even if she's not beautiful. V'lo bevigdeit seva shel isha. And you can't look at the colorful clothing of women. And you can't watch animals while they are copulating. And then the Gemara comments, what does it mean you can't look at the colorful clothing of women? Even if it's on the wall, I mean, not on the woman, even if you know, it's in the closet. And that's where you know who normally wears them. Right, when you know who wears the clothing, so you can't be staring at people's clothing. And we know there's all types, you know, every so often you'll find in the news, they will arrest some person who broke into, you know, some with some weird fetish, broke into someone's house to steal their clothing, to steal something, right? You know, people get these weird attachment to people, and therefore they want to see their clothing. But the point is, as Shulchan Aruch puts in number 5, Tzar Hadl Mizrachik Ben Hashem Ma'od Ma'od, you have to be very careful in all these matters with women. V'asr L'krotz B'yadav Ovir Aglav L'rmoz B'yinav L'chad Me'arayot, for any of the people who it's forbidden to be with, so you can't be winking, you can't be hinting, you can't be gesticulating, V'asr L'shokim Ma'od be frivolous, Al Karosha Konegda L'hab V'yaflo, or stare at her beauty, V'afil L'harich B'vsam Shalda Asr, or to smell her perfume, or to watch the women while they're going to do the laundry, which meant, you know, in the river, and they're lifting up their dresses. And you can't stare at the clothing of a woman who you know, even they're not on her, because you might end up thinking about her. And in 6, we find out, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's not only visual images, melitzos, mishalm, tzuzichatzchulim, v'reisheshek, in the context of what's usher to read on Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch says you can't read these songs and these poetry and romantic literature, could go and see for Immanuel, like the Book of Immanuel. Now what's the Book of Immanuel? The Book of Immanuel is some book of romantic poems, I don't know. How do I? This should be a lesson in life, right? If ever there's something that you really, really hate and you want to call it out by name, just know that one day they will be forgotten. But if you're successful, then they won't be forgotten. Because if you look on Wikipedia on the page for Immanuel, it says he's some poetic, you know, writer from I don't remember when, who was heavily criticized by his critics like Rabbi Yosef Karo. That's the only thing they know about him, was that he was some poet that Shulchan Aruch didn't like. But now we know that there was some poet that Rabbi Yosef Karo didn't like, and he's commemorated forever because Rabbi Yosef Karo didn't like him. Fine, but if you skip down one line, he said, V'divrei Cheshek, at the end of the second line, he says, as for romantic literature, it's not just Asr on Shabbos, it's Asr during the week, because it provokes the desires. And so the writers, the copyists, the publishers, for sure, they are responsible for making the masses sin. So right off the bat, it is clear, at least to me, but I think this is obvious, that in Halacha, anytime you're dealing with one of the Isurei Arayot, any of the Tzniut issues, which are focused on preventing people from seeing or being involved or smelling things or hearing things which are going to provoke illicit desire, so it makes absolutely no difference whether the woman is there, the woman is not there, it's an image, it doesn't matter, right? It's usher to read provocative literature, it's usher to stare at the clothing of a woman you're attracted to, or you even know, right, to stare at it promiscuously, to smell her perfume. So obviously, in that category is going to go pornography, is going to go whatever you want to put. It's not going to matter whether the person's there, right? We all know that's what the whole industry is built on, is the assumption that, yes, people are attracted to this. So if I set up a spectrum of what issues are going to be affected by what medium they're conveyed in, at one extreme you have all the things that are about generating illicit thoughts, and all that we don't even have to talk about, right? It's not, because it's not about the erva itself. It's about what is provocative. And if it's provocative, then it's, if it's illicitly provocative, then it's illicitly provocative. Doesn't really matter, right? That's pole one.
You have to be attractive. If you're not attractive, you can't smoke.
So certain things are, certain things aren't, right? That was, that was what it depended, right? It's, you can't, it's like not politically correct, but, it's the way the Gemara said it, right? You can't look at a married woman, even if she's ugly, and a non-married woman if she's beautiful. But a single woman is ugly, then it's fine, right? That's not politically correct to say, but fine, right? That's the, right? So and obviously there's a difference between things that in this area of halacha, there's a distinction we call histaklut versus habata, right? Looking casually or staring, right? There's obvious differences, doing with intent, not with intent, etc.
Flights is like secondary things. When you watch the news, and at the end of the news is that the clothes for the women are just
the women, right? Just walking by a store is fine, right?
You really don't know the women at the news. You see their names, you don't really know them. You know what I mean? Like you see them wearing some clothes.
Oh, you mean like that? No. I mean, it's a question of like staring, and not, you can look at a woman who is wearing clothes. That's better than the alternative, right? I think that's obvious, right? Right.
Like,
at least of one of the alternatives.
Like 10 a.m. They used to say the producers walk in and say, "You
wear
this or not."
Oh. Maybe, right? That might be, right? I mean, again, it depends. It's about staring and looking, right? Meaning, sure, like you've seen someone wear something and now, you're like, oh, maybe I should, tell my wife, she might want to buy it, right? And that's a different type of thing than like staring at the clothing. Again, all these things have madrig, and like I said, we can't get into any sugyo entirely, but I want to try to just set up the poll. So at one extreme, you'd have that. At the other extreme, right, you'd have things there'd be two types of things that'd be the other extreme, okay? One thing, which is all the way at the other extreme, is going to be things that are forbidden because the presence of an erva is problematic. Not the involvement with, but the presence. So, for example, yichud, right? While there are some poskim who actually do suggest this sort of as like a weird chumrah, but no one on a formal level is going to say that there's an isur yichud while you are talking to a woman on the phone or through, Skype or FaceTime. But obviously not. If yichud is about a concern that you might end up sleeping together, so Okay, so if you are alone while you are Skyping with someone, right, nothing can happen. I mean, sure, things can happen, we know. But actual, again, these are all, unfortunately, in Smicha, you know, we have like the session, like months of past years, not months, years of pastoral psychology, like once a week, twice a week, whatever. And like, you know, you get people coming in, you get psychologists coming in about, you know, all these sex addictions that people have, that and it's destructive, and how you can deal with it as parents and as teachers and as, you know, as it's a disaster. Like, you know, my wife was, you know, is a yoetzet halacha, and was approached by the head of JAX. I forget his name. What's it? Or someone who works for them. Someone has, yes. Kaufman. He wanted to talk to her and just alert her and the other yoetzet about the amount of sexual addiction that exists and the problems that it causes, right? These are, so it for sure, weird things can happen and do happen all the time, and we know that. But yichud, no one's going to say in a formal level yichud is violated when you're Skyping in private, because yichud is about the presence, right? It requires, you know, and barring some very, you know, it, again, this is not something that is impossible in, I don't want to venture to guess how many years, because it could be much shorter than I think, right? The advent of virtual reality, right, could get to the point where, you know, communication can make it as if the person's there, and, you know, God knows what people will create because of all types of desires. So who knows what will happen with virtual reality one day, but at least at the moment, right, no one's going to say yichud is violated. Similarly,
speaking about silly things, that they have come out with dolls.
Like, I know, that's what, you know.
Is there going to be that problem of having yichud
with a doll? Right, so I don't think any posting. But this way, I don't think any posting is going to say formally. You know, what will probably happen at some point is something like what happened. Shulchan Aruch and Simcha of Dalet, Sif Aleph, says that even though the Gemara in Kiddushin says, for example, that there is no formal yichud between men, because Yisrael in Chashan al Zachar, because Jews are not suspect of violating homosexuality, Shulchan Aruch says, nevertheless, I would tell you that you should be Machmir. Because he said, and this is already 500 years ago, he said, where I live, right, which is, I mean, he's living in Tzfat, right, but okay, we know that people do violate homosexuality, and therefore I would encourage people to be Machmir on Yichud. The Taz says, Maybe where you live, right? That's his comment. Here's a Taz, right? Or Shmuel or something, right? Where you live? But there are poskim who will say, you know, will suggest, you know, the Bizman Hazeh, you should be careful, because we know there's something that there's a concern about. And that's why I'm saying, you know, at some point, yeah, you know, we know that people create all types of things with dolls and with virtual reality. You know, you start mixing everything, God knows what's going to happen. You know, holograms and virtual holograms, who knows, right? I have no idea what they're going to create. So I'm not ready to rule out the possibility that one day some post-it is going to get up and say, you know what, we've gotten to the point where this is a bad idea, because I don't know what's going to happen. But on a formal level, obviously, yichud is going to require the presence of a woman. Again, that doesn't mean that it's not, you know, there aren't going to be reasons to be machmir. And even nowadays, people will say, you know, people will say there's an iser yichud with a computer. Now, obviously, I don't mean that formally. There's no iser yichud with a computer. But people who are saying that are saying, well, we know that people realistically are drawn to pornography and things like that. So, you know, they shouldn't be misyachud with a computer, right? Again, that tends not to be people in, you know, in the modern Orthodox world, it's not people, but even some of my rebbeim in the modern Orthodox world, like, set up all types of, you know, controls. And one of my rebbeim was like, you know, a tzaddik gamur, but his thing is, he said his computer is, you know, is like, it. I mean, they really went quite all out, and like, you can only unlock it with two passwords. He knows one, his wife knows the other. They both have to be in the room, and it has a timer. So, you know, every like half an hour, you have to redo it so that you can't be on the computer if someone else isn't home. Like, you know, people do this, just, you know, but again, on a formal level, there's no such prohibition. Similarly, on that poll are Arayot issues that are formal, right? Arayot issues that are totally formal are also not going to be problems when it comes, I think, when it comes to media, right? So what do I mean by that? So if you look just quickly in 7, 8, and 9 here, there's the following halacha. The Gemara says that Amar Rava Tzoa Ba'ashashis Mutu Likros Kriyashma Kenegda. Erva Ba'ashashis also Likros Kriyashma Kenegda. There's a prohibition to say Shema or in the presence of either an Erva, right, meaning anyone who's dressed improperly, this is male or female. Again, I'm defining this loosely. I don't really mean improperly. I mean specifically where the parts of the body that are defined as an erva are uncovered without getting to what that is exactly. Again, this doesn't necessarily mean in inappropriate circumstances, right? So to give an example, right, an easy example, right? You are in you're in your house, and your wife is nursing, right? So that's totally fine, but if she doesn't cover her body, so you can't say Shema there. It's not an inappropriate situation, but it is an exposed erva, right? This doesn't mean, right, provocative. It just means the presence of something that is formally considered an erva. If it's covered, so let's say it's covered. Ashashis means it's visible but technically covered. Let's say it could be behind glass would be a good case of ashashis. So in the case of tzoa, right, if you have a dirty diaper, but it's behind glass, doesn't matter that you can technically see it in the room, right? It's in the diaper genie, whatever it is, you can say Shema. But an erva, that doesn't help you. Why? The Gemara says, tzoa bashas mutal kriya Shema kenegda, tzoa bekisu talia milsa. To solve the problem of excrement, you need to cover it. V'hamichsa, so if it's covered, it's covered. Erva ba'ashashis, but what if it's an erva? So erva ba'ashashis also likros kriya Shema kenegda, v'lo yir b'chayir ba'davar, because the pasuk we base it on is don't see an erva, don't see something inappropriate, or not inappropriate, don't see in a covered part of the body. And Amar Rachmana, v'akam ischaz, that's what the Torah says, and you see it. Now, there's a machlokes, though, between the Beis Yosef and the Bach, how you solve the problem. So the Shulchan Aruch, if you look at number 8, says, "Ha'isa erva kinegdo ve'echzer panav mimeno sha'atzam einav oshu o belaylo shusuma mutter likros to be ri'ya talarachmona v'lo chazila." So let's say the light's off, or the guy's blind, right? Or he closes his eyes, or he turns around. So then he says, you've solved the problem, because it's all about seeing. It's about seeing, that's it. And then this is following a whole tradition in Rishonim, that the issue here again isn't Isur, the issue is the concern that you're going to cause, you're going to be distracted, right, by the provocative thing that you see. And therefore, even if you're permitted to see it, you cannot drink Kriya Shema because it'll distract you. The Bach, however, says that he argues on the Shulchan Aruch's assumption. He says, no. He quotes a Mordechai. So if you look down, there's three lines, just to get this conclusion. So the Bach says, no, I don't think this is right. I think that you are allowed to turn your head, but you're not allowed to close your eyes. Because he said, if you close your eyes, you turn off the light, it's still there, right? You're still looking at it, it's just, right, technically there's no light. And there's a formal prohibition of saying Shema where there's an erva present. Now, if you turn your head, so that already, right, you'd have to turn around to see it. But if you just turn off the light, he still thinks it's a problem to say Shema, because it's more than just seeing it. It's a problem. There's a formal problem, right, of saying Shema when there's a present, when you're facing an erva, let's say, right? There's a formal problem, even though you can't see it. He says, since you could see it, you're facing its direction. That's enough of whatever you want to call it, an exposure to an erva that you couldn't say Shema.
So, what would you say to a blind person?
So, what is this in the blind person? Does he mention it?
He wouldn't know that there's an erva in the room.
Correct. Correct. He doesn't mention it here.
It's not there.
Right, assume it might be.
If it's not totally in sight, then the blind person does sense the presence of another.
Right, so I'm not sure what he says about Summa. If it's more like the turning the head, I have to look back at the full box, see if he discusses it. I assume it does sense Summa. But what I want to pull out of the Bach is I would think that it would be obvious that even according to the Bach, let's say, even according to the Bach, let's say you close your eyes to a screen. I would think it would be obvious, according to the Bach, that you could say Shema. Right? Because the Bach is saying that there's two reasons you can't say Shema when there's an erva. One is because you see it, and therefore it's provocative, and it distracts you. Two is because there's a formal prohibition. But let's say you would close your eyes to a screen. Right? So I think the Bach would admit it's fine, because that's a formal problem. Right? And just like, you know, it's not really there, it's just that you see it. But on the flip side, everybody agrees, pretty much, all the poskim agree, that what happens if there's a screen and you are looking at it, so then pretty much everyone agrees that it's usur. Because if it's about distraction, so we're back to the first one, anything that's about distraction, that's a substantive question, are you attracted to it? Is it going to distract you? If the answer is yes, it doesn't matter if it's a screen or not. And that's the position. I don't want to read everything inside because we're not going to have time, but I'll just tell you what they say. Minchas Yitzchak proves it from the fact that the Gemara tells the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, who at first didn't want to accept the mirrors of the Jewish women, right? Because, it's used for them to adorn themselves and they're related to sexuality. And then Hashem says, no, that was a good thing, right? Because that was what kept the Jewish people alive, because they used it to ensure that the men still were attracted to them. But his point, but he said, what's clear is that the very fact that a mirror, right, the Gemara recognizes that the image in a mirror is sexually attractive. That's the point of the Gemara, right? The machlokas between Moshe Rabbeinu and God was, is that a holy thing or an unholy thing? But no one denies that the image in the mirror is sexually attractive. Otherwise, the whole story doesn't work, right? Correct, he said. Well, no, so that's not actually the Gemara. The way the Gemara says is they would actually stand there with their husbands and look at the two of them together and say, I'm more beautiful than you, right? So that's it. That's his point, is that the storyline assumes, if you don't like that one, right, so some of the other poskim, Rav Ovadia suggests that... Well, again, so the story of the Gemara is that they stand there with their husbands and look at the image together. You're right. They look at. You're right. Fine. So Rav Ovadia has a nice sort of funny proof, right, from the Gemara in Nazir, where the Gemara in Nazir says there was once a Nazir who was L'shem Shamayim. Who was the Nazir L'shem Shamayim? It was a beautiful guy. Right, he was just stunning, and he goes to the river to get a drink, and he sees his own reflection, and he's overcome with desire at himself, and that was when he realized he needed to cut his, you know, he needed to make himself disgusting, and he became a Nazir, so that he would commit his hair to God, and they would cut it off, and we praise him, blah, 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 blah. He said, what's the whole point of the Gemara? Is that the guy was overcome by his reflection, his own reflection, right? Again, I don't think you need proofs, right? The fact that the isser of seeing an erva during Kriya Shema is because it will distract you, right? I don't think I need to tell anybody that it doesn't matter, right? If you have the screen going, and God knows what shows up on the screen, right? It's going to distract people. They did this, you know, there was this study out of Israel. I think it was Israel. This is one of the most intuitive studies ever, but, you know, whoever did it, I don't know, right? They studied the occurrence of traffic accidents next to billboards of scantily clad women, and found that there was like a double the normal accident rate in proximity to these billboards, right? Now, London, in England, they actually acted on this, and they've passed a law now. It's illegal to have those billboards by roads because it's dangerous, right? Again, when you see the conclusion of the study, you're like, of course that happened, right? Of course that happened, right? Of course, that makes a lot of sense. So, again, do you need a proof for this? I don't think you need a proof for it. Now, Rav Ovadia does note in the middle of his tshuva that there were some who argued on this, and that's based on, let's look at 11. The Gemara tells you as follows, the Tana Rabbanan, Echad Omer Gavoh Shdemer, does Echad Omer Shlosho, talking in the context of Eidus, of testimony. So let's say they have disputes, so he doesn't Kayemet, Echad Omer Shlosho, Echad Omer Chamisha, doesn't Betela. Actually, let's just skip to the second line. Tana Rabbanan, Re'eninu Bamayim, let's say they saw the moon, right? They say they saw the moon in the reflection in the water, or Re'enihu Ba'ashashis, or we saw it in Ashashis, right? The same, you know, through glass. Reino ba'avim, we saw it in the clouds, ain't many in love. They can't testify. So the case of testimony, which is formal, right? The Gemara says, you see it through glass, it doesn't work. Now, so Rov Poskim say, like Rav Avadia does, and you can look at it inside in 12 later, if you want, Rav Avadia says, well, most Poskim just say it's a difference between Eidos and Arayos. Because by Kriya Shema, it's about distraction. And a person is distracted by images, even if it's through glass, even if it's on a screen, even if it's not live, doesn't matter. Testimony is formal. You need to see the crime. So there you can say that if I saw it in the mirror, I didn't really see it. Right? There's a formal component to it. He notes that there are some achronim who try to say not that way and say no, that even by arayos, there are different types of ashashis, right? There's reflections, there's through windows, right? They might be different, right? Some of them it is called seeing, some of them it isn't called seeing. And those poskim clearly think that even the erva thing is more formal. But the majority of poskim say no. Testimony is formal, arayos is substantive, right? It's about what provokes. So again, now we have our spectrum, right? At one end, you have things that clearly are equally prohibited, like pornography, right? Things that are about being Megari Yetzer Hara. At the other extreme, you have things like that are formal, like testimony, right? Like, according to the Bach, potentially, right? Having an image that you don't even see create problems in Arayos, where it gets sort of, shall we say, exciting, right? Where it gets complicated is in the middle, is what happens when you have areas of halacha which themselves are sort of formal, sort of substantive, right? They're neither here nor there. Then suddenly you need to ask the question, you need to ask the double question, right? To what extent is the issue we're talking about a formal erva problem, and to what extent is it a megara yetzer hara problem? One, and two, is if it's a formal problem, then is the erva communicated through different media, is that considered the erva? Now, the test case I put, because it's the easiest test case to see this in, and that's what the rest of the sources are on, is Kalisha. Right? Kalisha is the classic test case here. Now, again, I don't want to get into the whole question of the details of Kalisha. Let's assume, like most poskim, they're not, admittedly not all poskim, but let's assume, like most poskim, that Kalisha is a prohibition to hear a woman sing, not just in the context of Kriya Shema, but ever. Okay, there are Rishonim who denied that. There were Rishonim who said, no, Kalisha is only a problem in the context of Kriya Shema. It's not really an Erva. It's only an Erva insofar that it distracts. And it's not that it's Usur in general. It's that during Shema, we have a heightened sensitivity. And the reason they say that is because in 13, the context is that same Gemara we saw before. The prohibitions of Shema, that Amar Shmuel, Kol B'Yishe Erva, Shneamar Ki Kolech, Arev Marech, Naveh, that Shmuel says the voice of a woman is an erva because, as it says in Shir HaShirim, that your voice is pleasant and your image is beautiful. However, the Gemara appears not in the context of Kriya Shema, the end of Kiddushin, which is what leads most Rishonim to assume that the prohibition is not just in the context of Shema. So let's just assume, for these purposes, that Kol Isha is the assumption that a woman's singing voice is an erva. Okay. So that's true if you hear the woman's voice live. What happens if you don't hear it live? Right? So now we have a series of questions we suddenly have to ask. Now I'm going to say it now before I get in trouble. I am not poskening. I am describing the sugya. Right? I am describing the phenomenon of the poskim. You can ask whoever you normally ask for psak how to posken on this. I do not want to touch this as a practical psak with a million foot pole. So here are the questions. Kol Isha. Kol B'Isha Erva. So we have a million questions we can ask. Okay, first things first. Why is Kol B'Isha Erva? So two possibilities, right? One is it's Erva insofar as it is attractive. Two is that may be the motivation behind it, but Kol Isha becomes a formal erva, right? Maybe it isn't attractive. Maybe people aren't attracted by voice, but it's a formally defined forbidden thing to hear. That's question one. Question two is, okay, let's assume that it's formal. Well, what does it mean to hear a voice? Right? Live, not live? Does it make a difference? If it's a recording, does it make a difference if you're hearing on the phone? Does it, right? Or, let's say it's substantive. Right? Let's say it is substantive. It's about being physically attracted to the woman who's singing. Under what circumstances? Right? Are you equally attracted to a woman's voice if it's live as if it's on the radio? Does it matter if it's on, what if you see the woman? Right? Does it make a difference? Right? The answer to that is, well, it does, but is it different enough that that's halachically significant? Right? So the poskim suddenly, this is the one where really you see it breaks down based on what you think. So I gave you in 14 Rav Ovadia, primarily because Rav Ovadia always summarizes everything under the sun. Well, you know what? I'll come back to Rav Ovadia. Let me just skip to someone who sees in very, very clear terms. Look, skip to 16 for a moment. If you look in the Beis Baruch, this is Rav Binyamin Zilbert, right, the author of the Osnid Baru and many other Svarim. He says as follows. He says, Nira Pashut, Dikol Zemer Isha Erva Ein Hevdel Bein Himroa Isha Umakira Oshi Nimta Ve'ez Acher Bein Makira Klal. There's no difference whether it's law, whether you know her, you don't know her. Lochein calls Zimmer Shalisha be radio. Heavy Dino Kasher Nibar Bain Lin and Isra Shmiya Bain Lazar Davar Shabuk Dusha. It's Usr, it's Usr, it's Usr. Live, radio, doesn't matter. Lo Dami La Darminan in Avodazara. Umakirim Bale and the Shum Lamishum Nenaman Erba Hut Aina Nam Mistakal Big Ditivanomishum the Yaskalisha Vavali the Hero Kandi Shumishum Nenami Erba Lolam Usr. He said, and it's not the same as the case of the women's clothing, where it's only us if you know the woman. So no, because there the problem is that you might be attracted to the woman. Here there's a formal problem called nehene mina erva. You got benefit from an erva, from something which was prohibited to you. And therefore, it doesn't matter. You know her, you don't know her, you know what she looks. That doesn't matter. You heard her voice. It's an automatic erva. It's forbidden. That's all there is to it. And therefore, it's usher. If it's live, it's usher. On the radio, it's usher always. Right? So Zilber takes the position, A, it's basically a formal isser called nehen emine erva. And two, that can be accomplished, whether it's live, whether it's on the radio, because at least for these purposes, we recognize the voice as being transmitted through electronic media, still being the voice. Rav Ovadia in 14 is much less convinced by this. And he says, Nish'alti bedin kol zemer shel isha begramophone or beradio. Im yesh bo mishum kol beisha erva. Tzarchli zarshal shama be'ez kriya shema tefila. I was asked about kol isha on a gramophone, right? The shayla is a bit dated. Fine, right? Or the radio. Makes sense. Yabia omer chelek aleph, right? He was writing way, well into the 2000s, but Chelek Aleph was what, in the 50s, the 40s? I don't know, these Jews are published right there a long time ago. So he quotes the Sugya. He says as follows. He said, Bebrachos Amar Shmuel Kol Beisha Erva, Shine Emar Kolech Arev Marech Naveh, Upeirs Rashi Meshech Lakra Begavash Mamina Taivei. He said, well, the Gemara says Kol Beisha Erva because it's attractive. Right, uvagos maimoni kosev b'shem Rabbi Nachanan v'kol afagav de'ein nirlei naim hear her mia ika, and Rabbi Nachanan says that the voice, even if you don't see her, there is thoughts. V'sula regia b'gilui ser l'chashin l'kehir her v'chulei v'chorei nira v'yarach. The avagav nirlei naim kigon she'ein aroas isha sheshomea kola v'gam lo kira me'olam b'kol malkom hear her mia ika. So try one. Is let's assume that kolisha is substantive, is formal. And what have we already said? That anytime something's formal, it's not formal. Let's assume it's substantive, meaning it's provocative. Well, if you deem a woman's voice provocative, so then just like pornography, if it's usher because it's provocative, then it's usher whether it's live or not, because it causes hearer. But then he says, maybe not. He said, no, that's not what Rabbi Chananel means. Rabbi Chananel is just telling you that the chiddush here is that there's such a thing as the audio erva. Right? I mean, you might have thought there's no such thing as an audio erva, Kamashwan. There is. He's not telling you that the whole iser is going to be equivalent whether you see it or not. And he said, I'll prove it to you. says, because he said, you might have thought that los asuru achare levavchem achare nechem, that you're only attracted to things you see. But that doesn't mean that kol isha is going to be asur even if you don't see the woman. Look after the ellipsis, right? In the first paragraph, it says, olam yesh lomri inan shiero as a isha misharez. Maybe you do have to see the singer. How do I know? Ragazarim kol bishero, kinaminim sanhedrin, gaminiskelas aruma lochashin lirhura. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the position of the Chachamim is that a woman is, when she's stoned, right, when a man is stoned, he's stoned naked, because this way, when he's pushed off the cliff thing, he won't be padded, and he'll die quicker, so you don't actually have to kill him by throwing the stones, right? Because when we stone someone, first we throw them off the cliff thing, you know, really a ledge, and then we throw stones at them. We want them to die at the beginning, so we don't have to stone them. So the Chachamim say, well, a woman is stoned, also naked. Oh, why aren't we worried about the Yetzer Hara? Because the woman, as you said, the Gemara says, "Ein Yetzer Hara shalat el misha ein avros." The Yetzer Hara attracts you to a specific woman, and this woman is about to die. So you're not going to be generally provoked, right? And the woman that you might be attracted to is about to die, so it's irrelevant. So he says, you do see that sexually provocative things might carry an element of images. They might need to be a visual component. So then in bed, he says, "V'hine kishamakir as a isha shomea kolon yirdevada ish lazer mishum kol beisha erva." So therefore, maybe I would suggest that it's usur to listen to a woman's voice, but only if you know her. Why? Says Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Shekazu adamri megillah kol meracha racha miad nikri." The Gemara in Megillah says that anyone who would verbalize Rachav's name would. Right, would have a seminal emission, right? What? Exactly. Why? So Gemara said, Hazam biyoto makira, and then one of the Rabbanon said, I say her name and it doesn't affect me. He said, no, you have to know who she was. If you knew who she was, then even mentioning her name would set you off. Umash v'dashin aroz, akim v'shamaskir shma bali dehir, hachanami shishomei as kula. And he proves that this is true from the case of the woman's clothing. That it's only usur to see a woman's clothing if you know the woman. Right? In skip to Gimel v'lo'od elishay amakom lachem shemei kolisha afin lo shem nakir meolam kevin shekola yotze migufa. You might have said that maybe the voice is different because it comes out of her body, meaning it's actually her, right? But he rejects that. But that, as you see, is what Rav Zilber did say. So skip all the way to Vav, and he says, "V'chazi aveit b'shut pri asada," and I saw in the shut pri asada shenishal gam kemin shmias called zemer shalisha begramophone pasuk lahachmir nisha call maybe li they hear her she'ezah chiluk yesh ben shomei kol amamish lekol zemer shebekli hazeh depshitu daaser call zemer isha hainu afilo inu mistakel ba v'chider acher v'shomei kol gam kemin aser. The pri asada said it's obviously forbidden because you heard her voice, you're attracted. That's it. It's aser. But he said, no. I don't think he's right. That's where, it's only if you know her. And then in Zion, he says, he said, many achronim are mekil. He said, but I would compromise. I would say it depends on whether you ever knew her. David Leiter, Shagamkin, Kalisha Beradio, V'yedidi Hagon, Rav Moshe Talidano, B'shut Yam Gadol, the Yam Gadol said, you know what it depends on? It depends on whether it's live. If it's a recording, it's the gramophone, then it's mutter. But if it's on the radio, live radio, presumably, right? Live radio, or has to be, otherwise it's just a gramophone on the radio, right? But if it's live on the radio, it's two steps, right? But if it's on the radio or the telephone, then it's permitted. So now, then it's usur, then it's usur, then it's forbidden. And then Rav Avadi himself says, v'nir akol panim, im rab turasa bitmuna, in lahakal bazachshin luhirur. Let's say you have, you know, YouTube video, but a still picture, right? So you know what she looks like, you're not seeing her now. Then he would say, well, that's probably usur, right? But then he says, but I'm not sure what would happen if you know her, but you don't see her now. He's not sure. Maybe it's us, or maybe it's Mutter. Hamura mikala amur dviyoda makir afilai de tmuna asal shmar kol begramavan radio avam eno makir mutter vein mazem shum kol b'yisharba. So he says, if you hear her voice, but you've never seen her, it's Mutter. If you hear her voice and you've seen her in the past, then it's Usr. In 15, he's less convinced of this. In 15, in a later Tshuva Chelek Tes, he's less convinced, and he's right, since it's Dirabana, and he wonders that maybe as long as you're not seeing her now, he thinks it might be fine. Yeah.
Just an interesting combination is if you have let's say you're watching a video of somebody who's passed away.
Right, similar. Correct, exactly. Right, similar, exactly. If you look here, third line in Rav Avadia, here he says, maybe not. Because maybe Yodam Akira is Iraq Sharosa Bechayim. Chayusa Meloko Masa, maybe seeing means seeing her alive, like now, in person. Right? So what do you have? So now, and this is why I think Kalisha is the middle case, where it's very helpful, right, to understand what types of shaylos are affected by communication technology. Because here, so what do you have? You have the poskim who think that Kol Isha is entirely, you know, substantive, right? It's about provoking, halachically, the voice of a woman always attracts you, and that's all there is to it, right? So they say, well, right, Beis Baruch, you are getting benefit from an erva. It's usher. Don't tell me it's her voice. It's not her voice. It is. You're hearing the voice. It's provocative. End of story. You're nehna min erva. Right? Usher, 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 usher. Then, if you think it's provocative, you could say, well, that's his approach. Then you have poskim in the middle who say, no, it is about being provocative, but it's only a certain type of voice which is provocative. So, for example, Rav Avadia said it's provocative if you know who the woman is. That's possibility one. Or in his second tshuva, it's provocative in conjunction with seeing her image. Right? Therefore, what will come out is it's usher to watch a video of a woman singing, but it would be mutter to hear it on the radio or even telephone. Right? Rav Toledano, though, he moves in the other direction. He says, no, it's not purely substantive. It's not just about being provocative. It's formal. Right? How do I know that Rav Toledano thinks that it's formal? Because can you tell it? Let's say you go on the radio. You're in the car, right? You turn on the radio. It's in the middle of a song. Would you know if it's in the middle of the song whether it was recorded or whether it was live? You have no idea, right? If you got there at the beginning and they say this is a live, you have no idea, right? What?
Not
even mixed. Let's say it was just a recording, right? Not mixed. Just if it was the same thing today or yesterday without being played with, right?
But it was mixed in a recording studio.
No, for sure if it was mixed. But let's say it wasn't mixed. Let's say just a recording, right? How would you know, right? Or if I said turn around, right? And I had a woman sing either on a telephone or I played a recording, right? Would you know, right? Or that it was live, not live? You would have no idea. Right? So how could you distinguish? How could Rav Toledano say, well, Kol Isha is permitted if it's a recording, but usher if it's on the phone or live on the radio? Only because he thinks that it's formal. And if it's formal, then I'm forced to ask the question, well, under what circumstances a woman's voice communicated over media considered her voice? And his distinction is, it depends. If it's live communication, then it's her voice. If it's recorded, then it's not. But it's only because he views Kol Isha as a formal prohibition that he can make that distinction. If it's about it being provocative, right, that distinction makes no sense. Now, it isn't just Rav Toledano who makes that distinction. Rav Avadia doesn't like it, but look at 19. I gave it to you just two lines. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shmi es kol zemer isha mitoch ha'achlata. He said it's not technically forbidden. Right? He doesn't say he would endorse it, but he said listening to a recording, right? That's not usher. If it causes thoughts, then obviously is usur. But in the footnote, he says, "V'dafka me'aklad." That's only to recording. Avol mishara achshav shashmiya idem machshiv chashmalim chashiv er usur. But if it's you're hearing it while she's producing it, then it's formally usur, not just a bad idea. Well, what is Rosh Hashanah Zalman telling you? That he thinks that kol isha is a double level. Formally, it's only usur when you're hearing the woman in the here and now, and therefore, phone, right, live radio, right, live TV, usur. Not live, bad idea, because it might cause bad thoughts. But that's the distinction between formal and not formal. Correct. So there are some poskim. So no. And the poskim really bring this up. There is a hold in poskim, right? And no. I just for simplicity I left it out. But you're right. There are some poskim who say, well, it's not really even live is not live. And then other poskim say, yeah, but halacha for all intents and purposes, you perceive it as live. And that. No, but you're right. You're right. There are some poskim who say. Some poskim just say that's fallacious, meaning, what are you talking about? Live isn't live. Everything's delayed by a few seconds. So once you're telling me it's a difference between delayed and a few seconds, right? So take your pick. Either it's always usur or it's always mutter. You're right, in a chanami. And that's what a lot of poskim do say. okay, I'm going to have to skip the tzitzil yezir here. Reb Chaim David Halevi, like Reb Ovadia, distinguishes between Makira and not Makira, but therefore he says, and this is the one I haven't talked about yet, microphone, right? No posek, Matir's microphone, for one of two reasons. Either because anybody who tells me that it's less provocative when you hear the woman singing without the microphone or with the microphone, right? I mean, I don't know what is the entire concert industry about. If the microphone changes it so drastically that it's not her voice, right? No one is willing to say that a microphone isn't her voice, pretty much, right? I couldn't find anyone in writing who said it. I'm sure there are people in the world who say it. You hear people throw it around, but you look at any posek, no posek is willing to say a microphone isn't her voice, because at least for the purposes of Erva, we understand that whatever problem was with her voice is a problem if it's on a microphone, right? But he's also willing to distinguish between whether you know her or you don't know her. So I gave you in 21.
What does that even mean today? You have to know her personally?
You have to know what she looks like. No, it's look like. Right, looks like. You don't even know her name. It looks like. Right? Okay. Look at 21 just to see the summary, and you'll just see it coming together because we're running out of time. This is just a summary from... before that, I'll just make one more possible distinction. Riv Ellenson, in his three-volume set on, women's issues, what's it called? Hatznei Alechet? What is it? Ha'isha Bahalacha. One's like Hatznei Alechet. Whatever. It was on the shelf. That was, yeah, okay, fine. It wasn't on Otsar, but it was at my in-laws, so I could look it up. He has a totally another way of looking at this question. He says, the real question is as follows. Is kol isha usur because it attracts you to the singer, or is kol isha usur because it arouses you generally? He said, if kol isha is about attracting you to the woman, so then there's a lot of room to make ill if it's not live, right? Because it's not live, good luck, good luck. What?
You can't really get to her.
Right, you can't get, even if you know what she looks like, right? You can't, even if you're watching a YouTube, right, clip, it doesn't matter. Try getting to name your pop singer, right? You can't reach her. She's, it's a recording, even if it's live. Good luck. You're watching it on TV, right? But if it's about creating general arousal, so then we start after asking the shailas, right? But if it's about being attracted to the woman, it's like the woman, as we said, the woman jumping off, being thrown off in Skila. It may be that seeing the unclothed woman will be attractive, but she's about to die. Well, that's about as close as you're ever going to get to the pop singer that you're watching on TV, right? She might as well be dead, right? Fine. What? Yeah, in a chami, right? It's what the Ibn Ezra says about Los Ahmad, right? Los Ahmad is an isser against being irrational, because no one really has a desire for the princess, he said. Because you're never gonna marry the princess, right? But you think you're gonna get somebody else, right? You're somebody else's wife. If you understood, you're not gonna get her either, because God doesn't want you to have her, and she's usur, she's someone else's wife. So you wouldn't desire her, right? There needs to be an element of realism, right? You know, some fantasy crush on, you know, a pop singer isn't a real crush. That's not like, that's not the type of thing that destroys marriages, right? If someone says, oh yeah, I love blah, blah, blah singer, right? That's not what destroys marriages. It's where, you know, they're attracted to the person who lives next door, right? That's because, you know, fine, so you have a theoretical crush, whatever, right? It may not be great, but it's not as destructive. So I just gave you the summary here from Ray Jachter, where he notes, right, that Eliezer is also willing to be, it entertains being Makil, when you, it's a recording, because the Yetzer Hara is not interested in what the eyes do not see, and technically you don't hear the woman's voice, which is a, right, double attack, one on the formal level and one on the substantive level, right? It's less provocative if you don't see her, and it's not formally her voice if it's over electronic media, so you see that he's trying to solve both problems. Rav Henkin felt this way, but wondered, is there a difference between TV and radio? Because once you add the visual component, right, maybe it's more provocative, maybe it's more assertive. Yeah?
Just on the flip side, it seems like there's a double standard. I understand the difference between men and women, but why is there no opinion about that for women?
So there is. There is. It's not,
like, isn't there Reish Lakish that stands outside of the mikvah so that...
Rabbi Yochanan. But,
so women can...
Correct. So it actually is. Sefer HaChassidim actually says that it's also for women to hear Kol Ish also. Okay. And
naked as well.
What?
And what?
Well, that's for sure. Well, that Ramosha is a tshuva. What? No, because that wouldn't be an error. I mean, whatever, to be involved in things which would provoke, that is a question of Moshe Feinstein, because that comes down to a different question, which is whether having improper thoughts is intrinsically prohibited or prohibited because it might lead to carry, which obviously physically can't happen for women. So that's right. That's what Ramosha notes, that it depends. Certain types of machshavot are part of category one, certain are part of two, and that's the dividing line for Ramosha. But there are poskim, and there are modern poskim who've started to move in that direction, because like Rav Bigman, for example, at Amal Gilboa, he's very makel and kol isha. Right? He takes a very substantive approach and says it's only usher when it's attractive, and therefore if it's like a solemn, you know, it's the singing of the national anthem, he thinks it's permitted. But since he takes a substantive approach, he thinks that we should paskin like the Sefer Chassidim, that if it's provocative, that it's usher for women to hear men also. He just, right, he's makel and machmir along that axis. It's not widely accepted, I'm just saying. There are people who take that approach. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to have to summarize where we are here. I've given you a lot of summaries here so you can see it. And like I said, I didn't want to exhaust any of these topics. Each of them you could give shiur for 10 hours. But I wanted to point out that what you see is that the question of under what circumstances are we concerned and not concerned about a riot and sneeze issues that are communicated over media, you see a distinction. Things which are purely about provocation is always going to be prohibited because it's not a formal question. Things which are purely formal, like edus, right? Like the Bach by Kriyat Shema, fine. That is not going to be usher, right? Things in the middle is where you get the machlokas, right? Where you have some poskim saying, well, Kol Isha is formal, and therefore, on a formal level, if you hear recording, that's not her voice. But if you hear it live, you know, the Yam Gadol, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, it's usher. Some poskim, like the Tzitzil Yezer, say it's both, and therefore you have to solve both problems. You have to say that you're not attracted, we know what she looks like, and it's not technically her voice. Or you say, like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that hearing her formal voice is usher, even if you're not attracted, but it's a bad idea even to hear a recording because it might attract you, because Kalisha is double. Yerub Avadyo says, no, it is about being provocative, but it requires a visual component. And he goes back and forth in his own life, whether that means you have to know what she looks like or you actually have to be seeing her now, which would distinguish between TV and, right, radio, between YouTube and, right, whatever, and Spotify. Whatever the case may be. And you see the Kalisha, which is this one that sort of straddles the world between being provocative and being formal, is where the poskim are forced to ask the question, A, is it formal, is it not? B, what counts as hearing a woman's formal voice? And C, what counts as provocative and not? And does the visual component change it? Does it not being live change it? Knowing her change it, etc., etc.? And therefore, you see how there's this complicated dance between trying to find the nature of the prohibition and then trying to define the terms of conversation and then figuring out what exactly is provided when things are communicated over media rather than live. And when you mix and match all those, that's when you come with this array of positions, because Kalisha really is this middle issue. And I think if you look at other tzinios issues, that's what you're going to see in each case, is Poskim trying to weigh which side of this spectrum it falls on and then trying to apply the halacha accordingly. Now it's time for Maariv.